Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Last time on Modus Critica. Our heroes headed for Doc Daenerys' cave, where they found a giant tree overlooking a mysterious rock. With a little arcane knowledge and a little thought, the party was able to move the rock, revealing the water cave below. Things were tough at first, but a valiant Gord Godhand held his breath and gave our split party the extra push they needed to turn the tides of battle. With the second hag defeated, our party lay in wait to ambush the last of the coven, Naga Zavari.
Welcome to Modus Critica, the 11th episode. We are six flabbergasted Formorians just trying to fit into a world full of beauty queens. And we're looking to roleplay, roll dice, and roll heads. Those six Formorians are...
Kyle.
No, just do it, Riggs.
Oh, sorry. Hi, my name is Kyle, and I'll be playing Darius Adolfo, the Formorian, big-eyed, magnificent.
One more adjective?
Spectacular.
That'll do.
I am Eric. Good morning, afternoon, evening, night. I play Cornelius, the druid Herengon who still just really wants to light stuff on fire.
Hey, I'm Sid. I play Gord Godhand. Gord, when it's a hot day, likes a really nice cold water and a soak in a local pond.
Aquafina.
Oh, hello. My name's Caitlin. I play Torque Tortellini. And both Torque and I are very confused about what a Formorian is. What are we? What is that?
They're
Am
gross.
I that?
They're like grotesque sort of creatures. Yeah, they're just inherently evil.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, beauty's on the inside too, but maybe it's not.
Hey, I'm Zach. I play Nevlin Thrice Great, Gnome Illusionist, and at the advice of the Modus Critica lawyers and prospective future advertisers, I would like to say that my story about the goose fucking was fictional.
It wasn't to me.
It was real to me.
And I am Tyrone, your sun-kissed dungeon master.
Aww. That's it?
I'm sunburnt from the beautiful sun.
You mean the fiery orb of death that relentlessly hangs above the tortured fucking wasteland that is Western Canada?
Yeah, you really painted a picture of it.
I mean, there's worse places to live.
Yeah. Boom, doom, doom,
doom, doom. So, last session, you guys made your way to Doc Daenerys' water cave, and you jumped in the water, but you were so loud outside of her cave that they heard you very clearly, and they set up an ambush. You were then ambushed, people were getting pretty messed up, but Gord came to the rescue, jumped in the water. In like 4 seconds, he swam to the bottom, killed pretty much everyone, and then swam back out to the surface. As you guys made your way into Doc Daenerys' hut, which was warded magically to keep the water out, you made away with a small fortune, came up to the surface of the water, out into the clearing again, where you commenced a montage high five with everyone involved.
Maybe not everyone.
Everyone is involved. And can you all roll me a dexterity check for a group jump high five?
That's a 19 for Cornelius.
Nice.
It's a 4 for Dario.
16 for Gord.
Nevlin got a 16 as well.
Torque rolled a 16.
So you guys pass with flying colors.
It's like everybody, how many are there? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. Your hand plus your palm hits everybody because Damon is in the middle jumping up. I'll be the tallest.
I hit with way too much finger force and I like prang my finger. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, Nevlin uses mage hand for the group high five.
Nevlin doesn't even do it. He just throws his mage hand at the group.
Twerk tries really hard. He wants to give the best high five out of everyone.
Then I jump even higher than Gord because, you know.
Cornelius overshoots. He's like 17 feet in the air.
Oh, that's true. He is.
Now that you guys have gloriously high-fived, we're not actually going to montage, but you guys need to come up with a plan as to how you're going to ambush Naga Zavari. At your fingertips, you have all the information to discern how much time you have until Naga Zavari was going to get to Doc Daenerys' cave. You know when they were going to confront Baba Yaga, when the full moon is. Yeah, you guys should be able to time it pretty well. What's your plan of attack?
Well, we plan to attack.
So Gord says, all right, everybody, let's gather around. I know we're all wet. Great fighting, by the way, everybody.
Thanks,
we gotta figure out what to do about catching this witch. I propose cut down a couple trees, maybe set a couple of trip line traps. Cornelius, myself, I think we've probably hunted before. Maybe we could set up some of those.
It's not a bad idea. I think we should rest here. To be completely honest, if you hadn't dove down there, I feel like I'd be dead. So,
that's
I think
fair.
Should we all take a rest first? And
we've got a few days here.
Let's talk about
Torque is already sleeping.
Everyone's tuckered. You guys all. Torque's already sleeping around the fire. Who's going to take watch?
Gord will definitely. He'll take the first watch. He'll be thinking about some things.
I'll take the second watch.
Just going to roll just to see.
I'll take the third watch.
There's only two.
Oh, well, I tried.
Oh! DM rolls a nat 1. Nothing happens. You guys...
Yeah, fuck you!
You guys make it through... Wow.
So aggressive.
It's very aggressive.
We're brief. Good friends in real life.
So you guys make it through the night unscathed, unharmed. Gord, you're watching for the first 4 hours, and it's quiet. It's really quiet at night. You see lots of firebugs, just like in Thassiaga. Mm. There's firebugs everywhere, but the illumination is too minimal. Mm. It's pretty pitch black. Dario, you come out for your watch. Mm. You guys manage to each get your full 8. And when you wake up in the morning, you wake up feeling extra juicy.
Oh,
and you guys have
nice.
All leveled up to level 4.
Woo!
So we're just going to take a minute here and level up our characters. All right, we're back, and everybody has leveled up their characters. So why don't you guys go through and just give me a little 5-second gist of what you guys took on your fourth level there.
All right, well, I leveled up my character, Dario Sadolfo. He's now got a few more spells, little tricks up his sleeve. He took Lesser Restoration as a second level spell and Thaumaturgy as another cantrip spell. So now he can open and close, unlock doors and windows, snuff candles or light them and change their colors.
God damn it, Kyle, I said 5 seconds.
Oh, sorry. And also took the Resilient feat, which increased my constitution. And also that helps me with concentration and gives me HP. And that's great.
Hell yeah. What's your max HP at?
I rolled a maxed out, so that's great. I rolled an 8 plus 3 for 11, which now gives me 35 HP.
Nice. Let's go, Eric.
Tell us, Cornelius, on this doll, where did the Fae touch you? Well, it touched me by giving me Misty Step and another spell that
Sweet.
I took. My HP is now at 37.
What?
Yes.
You guys are going to be stronger than Gord by the end. Oh.
Yeah, we're comparing HP.
Oh, no.
Okay, so Sid, you rolled to see whether or not Grumsh was going to influence your level, your class, and you rolled in favor of Grumsh.
Yeah.
You sit silently as you meditate, reaching out to your god. You feel a numbing sensation as your eyes flutter open and shut with unbelievable speed. You open your eyes proper and you are in a dark space, void of anything, sound, feeling, or sight. When before you appears a large orcish man, one eye removed, breathing heavily. He looks down at you. As you look up to him, he says,
"Good Godhand, you crave your family. You crave your simple life. You crave serenity. Imagine the cooking fire in your humble home. The breath of your wife on the nape of your neck as you drift into slumber. Imagine a life where your child grows healthy and happiness is never out of reach. Do you wish for me to help you obtain these things?"
I would do anything to get back to my family.
You would be foolish to think that you would not have to fight like the Nines to get back. But I can give you that power. I can give you the strength to fight that bloodletting, rage-filled battle of glory and destruction. To strike down those who would stand in your way. To eat the hearts of those who would oppose you on your path to righteousness and serenity. The path to your family. But you must give me something in return. I demand your fealty, your prayer, and your sacrifice. You will think of your god as you ravage the battlefield, and you will speak my name when the blood sprays forth from your enemies. I will taste their blood in your mouth, and the blood on your hands will quench my thirst. This is what I ask for now. You will be the hand of Grumsh. You will be the hand of God.
I will make this deal for my family. So, are they alive?
They do live.
Then, yes. Yes, I will do this for you. As I have in the past.
Now, Gord, he offers you this, and in turn, once per rage, as a free action, you can sacrifice your own blood for 4 hit points to draw on the power of Grumsh, giving you an additional +1 to your rage damage. This happens again at level 6 of Barbarian. You can sacrifice 8 hit points for a +2 to your rage damage. And at level 9 Barbarian, you can sacrifice 12 hit points to gain a +3 to your rage damage.
Sweet.
Yeah. And what did you take as a Barbarian on this level?
I took a Zealot, level 3 Barbarian, and I gained 7 hit points plus my Constitution, bringing it up to 43. I get Warrior of the Gods, where the resurrection does not cost components. Even if I die, somebody can bring me back. Divine Fury, which adds a d6 to my attacks, plus half my barbarian level, and Primal Knowledge gives me an extra skill to be proficient in, and I chose Animal Handling.
Hell yeah. Torque.
So Torque is level 4 now. He improved his abilities, and he received Slow Fall, which, like, fingers crossed, I fall from a really big tree one day, because then I'll just fall really slowly and take far less damage. And his hit points, I mean, it's just a number. It doesn't matter if it's high or low. It's all about how you use it. He's 28 hit points, but he'll make it through.
It's the confidence that I like.
And instead of having 3 key points, he now has 4.
Beautiful. And then Nevlin?
Nevlin got himself the old 20 intelligence, and he's at 29 hit points currently. He also learnt Scorching Ray and Enlarge/Reduce.
Fuck yes.
Which he will use on his penis.
Okay, so everyone is leveled up to level 4. You're all feeling very spry. You kind of have a rough idea of how you would like to ambush. What would you guys actually like to do? You can each do one thing that may or may not work against whatever comes.
But I don't know what everyone else is going to do yet, so I want my thing to go with everybody else's thing.
Let's all roll to see whose thing goes first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ty, you roll a d6, and based on the numbers, you choose who goes first.
Okay, 4 goes first. So, Gord, you're first up.
Gord makes a couple of tripwires and strategies like that. You know, a little Home Alone-ish, where a tree will come flying through if it gets tripped.
Oh, that's pretty intense.
An entire
okay,
tree?
So I'm going to make you roll for that, dude.
All right.
So I'm going to get you to roll me a survival check.
Okay. 13.
Okay. It's not too crazy complex, and as you set up your trap, you've pulled all this spike down that's set onto some sort of spring that you've set with another log jammed in, and you pull it all the way back. You're bending the wood, and you tie it off to the ground, and you tie that rope to a tree, two trees. It's a tripwire, and then you cover the whole thing with leaves. But when you start to put the leaves on, you notice it starts to come up a little bit, and it's teetering, and your vine is very, 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 just, if you can hear the leather, like, it sounds like a leather scrunch, right? Just, like, just there. And you slowly step away from the trap. And you're like, okay, I think it's good, and it seems to hold.
Guys, don't come over here. I don't want the wind to disturb the leaves on this, guys. Thanks.
Okay, so next up is gonna be Torque.
So Torque wants to use two of his key points to use the minor illusion cantrip, but I'm curious to know if you, because technically, so I can create an object up to the size of a 5-foot cube.
Mm-hmm.
But would you let me create, like, a rock around Torque so that he looks like a rock? Also, I'm aware that there's probably a lot of real rocks around that he can hide behind, but he wants to be a rock.
Yeah, you can totally do that. The pathway leading into this clearing comes in from the north, and then at the southern end of it is the bluff and the massive tree that stands tall above all else. In the middle of the clearing is the entrance to Doctinera's cave, just for those who are listening to where we're setting up these traps. So, Torque, whereabouts do you think you want to spring your minor illusion?
So Torque will be up to the north, close to where Gord is, so he'll hopefully be catching Not a Safari on the when they get to the end of the trail that opens up into the clearing.
So, yeah, you're going to cast minor illusion on yourself right in front of the trail as they enter, as soon as you see them off in the distance. So next up is going to be Nevlin.
So I think what Nevlin is going to do is use Mold Earth to excavate, like, an area just past Gord's traps.
Okay.
This will just be a 5-foot pit, but since he has pretty much all the time in the world to build it, it's going to be 15 feet long by 10 feet wide. He's going to essentially build, like, a fungi pit. He's going to stick some sharpened branches and shit in the bottoms. All the earth that he excavates from that area is going to be kind of stretched out off the side to provide some cover for people to hide behind and get the upper hand.
Okay.
He's also going to try to cover the pit. Maybe Cornelius can help him with that.
Yeah, I can always help. And my plan is simple. I'm just going to hide in a bush.
Give me a hand here, Corny.
At advantage, roll me a survival check.
That is a 13 plus wisdom bonus, 14 total.
Okay, with the help of Cornelius, you guys managed to find enough brush and broom and branches to kind of go across it and kind of get it looking half-assed, like it's not a giant hole filled full of death spikes. But you guys can all clearly tell what it is. And then also, to the east of that, there's quite a few mounds of the dirt that you pulled out of the ground. After that, it's going to be, we'll go Cornelius.
Over on the kind of middle west side, I'm going to hide in some bushes that are there. And what I do next, I will figure out when the time comes.
And then it's going to be Dario.
Okay. I'll tell you what, guys. I'm going to hand out these alchemist fire potions. I want each of you to have one. If one of us manages to hit her, she'll be caught on fire. It'll be sweet.
Into that. I'm 100% into that.
I'm kind of a little bit of a rock right
yes,
now,
Torque.
But do I still get one?
Yes, you do.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Dario.
And so do you, Mushroom Man. You'll get one as well.
Okay. Spud's like, well, thanks, man. I mean, mushrooms and fire don't really mix great, but...
Well, I'll have yours if you don't want it.
I'm fully capable of lobbing this at a son of a bitch.
And then Cornelius, I feel like you love using fire, so I'll let you have one as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
Thank you.
So, none for me, because I'm not really good at firing those things, but I do have something special. I can use the guiding bolt of Mercure to smash into her and temporarily expand a glimmering, shimmering something around her. Is going to make her very easy to hit, especially when she's stuck in that pit. It'll be perfect.
This all sounds pretty good.
Yeah. I'll be hanging out behind this rock, and that's where I'll do it from.
Wait, the me rock? Or
no,
like
not
a real
the
rock.
You rock. Oh. A real rock.
Okay.
I'll be further south.
I'm still
south.
A pretty good rock, though.
Yeah, you've had 3 days of practicing to cast the spell and make yourself look like a rock.
Yeah.
The montage shows, like, you know, Gord and Dario carrying, like, big chunks of wood, and Cornelius and Nevlin are, like, digging these holes and shit, but each time
working
it shows,
really,
like, the working hard parts, Torque's just like, and then you turn into a rock. Anyway, Spud is actually going to hide further down the trail to the north, and he finds a nice little spot where there's a lot of mushrooms growing around him. And
oh my god.
He strips down out of his clothes, and he just kind of goes, and he just stands very still. And
oh my god,
Gord goes
so
to
dumb.
Take a pee, and he goes over to that side and goes, whoa, whoa.
Hey, man.
Damon.
Hey.
I didn't see you there.
I'm blending in here. And
you are. Do you see this, Torque? Look, just natural.
He actually rolled a 3. He rolled a 3 for stealth, so he's not very hidden. But he is a mushroom, so he's blending in.
Oh my god.
Okay, so everyone has done something for these 3 days. Maybe part of the montage was Gord showing Spud and Torque how to use a short sword properly, and, you know, like...
Torque doesn't need help.
When Boromir's training the hobbits and that kind of thing, and...
Oh my god.
And so you're gonna be, bustling about for the first couple days, and then the last day you're kind of resting and waiting. So on the third day, you guys are waiting quietly around your camp, and the day turns to dusk.
As the sun pulls away from the horizon, the Mercandraw becomes quiet and cold. All life ceases to exist except the softly glowing firebugs in and around the clearing. Hours pass, and just as expected, you see a magical glowing light off in the distance as 4 figures come into view.
So Spud is going to make his way into his position. He's going to roll. He rolls a decent stealth check. We'll roll opposed. And none of the approaching creatures see or hear Spud get into position as a mushroom. And it is very dark now, especially amongst the trees. So everyone else is in their hiding positions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, towards the rock.
Okay, so as the creatures approach, you guys see first some sort of creepy, crawly, demon-like character. And this thing resembles an enormous, toothy-mouthed grossness. The mouth is surrounded by an insane amount of, like, stubby, gross appendages and teeth and shit like that. It's super short, stout even, and the bulbous body is, like, split in half to accommodate, like, the giant gullet with 4 arms that can grab and slash and so on and so forth. So that's what you guys see come into the slight illumination of the firebugs. As it walks in the front, it does not see Spud, and it does not see Gord's trap, and it walks directly into your trap, Gord.
Fuck yeah.
Boom!
I will give you 2d10 damage on that trap.
Perfect.
All right. Go ahead and roll that up.
That is 8 damage. Ooh. Gord, inside his heart, does a little, yes!
Yeah, this thing fucking swings back, it snaps, and then it fucking impacts. These spikes go directly into this monster, and it screeches out as it starts pulling this trap out of itself and kind of slithers over to the side. With that cry, it has alerted the creatures walking behind it. And as the trap ceases to exist, you see a haggish-looking creature walking forth with 2 Quazites behind it. And they come forward to the Maw Demon and address it, as well as see these blood-covered sticks that were part of a trap. And immediately, the hag looks around. And she sees something move in the brush as Spud tries to stay still.
I knew it.
He trips and falls into a tree, and it spooks the hag, and the hag immediately starts moving forward. As she moves forward, oh, fuck, she does not notice the hole in the ground covered by the branches, and this hag falls directly into the hole. Nevlin, why don't you roll me up 1d6 for falling damage, as well as 2d10 for the trap damage.
All right. Just gotta get the dice together here.
That's 13 damage total.
I gotcha, you bitch.
She falls into this trap, and she is impaled at least a few times by these big, jagged sticks that you've sharpened up and set at the bottom of your dug hole. And with that, her other counterparts are beginning to look at each other, and they're beginning to look worried. And at that, we're going to do a surprise round. I'm going to need everyone to roll initiative.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Woo! Gord rolled a 4.
Torque rolled an 18. Oh, no.
Cornelius rolled a 17.
Dario rolled a 5.
Nevlin got an 8.
Fuck!
All right, Torque, you go first.
Spud rolled a 12 for 16. I'm going to have the Quasites, because they weren't affected by any traps or anything, I'm going to have them participate in the surprise round as well. Immediately, the first Quasite runs towards Spud, and it's going to claw at Spud. Rolls a 14, which is 18, which is going to hit Spud. So Spud's going to take 1d4 plus 3 damage for max damage. So Spud takes 7 damage.
Oh.
This Quasite runs directly to Spud and slashes into him with his claws. Catches Spud, definitely sort of off guard. And then it's going to be Torque's turn.
So I don't have to use an action to not be a rock, right?
No, you can just cease to be a rock.
Yeah, okay, so Torque is slightly disappointed because he's been preparing for this moment for 3 days. Really, you know, one with the rock, but he chooses to stop being a rock, so he's going to use the alchemist's fire, and he's standing, like, directly, like, almost on the edge of the other side of the pit, where, is it not a safari that fell down there?
Naga Safari, yes.
So Torque's gonna throw the alchemist's fire into the pit that Nana Safari is at the bottom of.
Okay.
Gonna burn the witch.
Technically she is prone, which I didn't say, but she definitely fell into the pit and is prone because she's just been impaled, so.
If she's prone, that means she has a disadvantage to thrown objects at her.
It does give Torque advantage, so you're gonna throw that at advantage.
Okay. Well, that's good, because I rolled a 3 plus 7, so 10, so let's go again. Oh, God. Come on, Torque, you idiot. Okay, that's a dirty 20.
That does hit. So, yeah, you huck this jar of alchemist fire at Naga Safari with great strength, and it explodes, and it burns like something nothing you've ever seen before, and she is screaming in the pit. Can you go ahead and roll me damage on that? I believe it's just 1d4.
It's just 1d4. But she has been set aflame.
She is set aflame.
And she's embarrassed because Torque is like, I'm here to rock your world, lady! Because he was a rock, get it? And then he does 1 damage!
Okay, she takes that 1 fire damage with a good spirit. It's because she cringes more at your dad joke. And that keeps the square aflame, I'm correct, right?
Yeah, her clothes are lit up.
All right, and with that, it's going to be the second Quasite's turn, and the second Quasite is going to immediately run forward towards Naga Safari, and it decides to jump down into the pit, and it carefully jumps down into the pit. It manages to get through and kind of steps alongside of the spikes and is going to use its action to extinguish the flames on Naga Safari.
Come on.
And it rolls a 1. Fuck. It pats at her and then it accidentally scratches her. And she's going to take 1 damage.
Good.
See, it's working.
We're getting her, guys.
Yeah. All right, and then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
All right, so Naked Safari is still in the hole?
Yes, Naga Safari is still in the hole.
So do I get advantage?
She is still prone, yes.
I am going to ready an action.
Okay.
I am going to ready a spell, and as soon as I see Naked Safari come out of that hole, I am going to release my spell.
Okay, as soon as as soon as Naga Safari comes out of the hole, you will cast your spell.
All right.
I love changing all your character names.
I You guys are dicks. Then it's going to be Spud's turn, and Spud is going to straight up...
Death save?
No. He's going to straight up lash out at this Quasite, and he's going to attack with both of his short swords. And he rolls like garbage. So 5 and a 6 plus 6 is 12 is not going to make the Quasite's AC. So he swings both times and misses. Very close, but misses both attacks. And then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Fun fact, Nevlin once worked as a tour guide for Naga Safaris.
I went on one of those.
A lot of snakes.
So Nevlin's going to move to the southernmost side of his piles of dirt.
Yep.
Effectively putting him directly opposite the pit. And he is going to ready his cantrip Gust. And if that witch should climb out the pit on my side of it, he's going to use Gust to try to push her back 5 feet into the pit.
Okay. All right.
So great.
Then it's going to be the Maw Demon's turn, and it sees you, Torque, no longer a rock, and it moves directly towards you.
Oh, shit.
It just walked through my pit.
Oh, did it? It did walk through your pit. It
the does. Pit got him.
Right.
He's so pitted.
Fuck. Goddamn pit.
I love this pit. Let's always have a pit.
I did that as a DM. I see it in front of me, and I still fucking did not pay attention. So yes, the Quasite falls into the pit. Nevlin, roll 1d6 plus 2d10 fucking damage.
I fucking love that's pits. Great. Oh, that's a 12 for the spikes, and 3 for the falling. So 15 damage total.
Oh, man. Okay, so this thing falls yet into another trap. It is impaled on the other side of its body as it screams out in terror and in pain as it tries to, like, flip itself back onto its stalk, I guess you would call it. But it can't at the moment. It will remain prone. Then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right. Running up from the south, going towards the pit and everything, coming out from behind the rock, it's no good. And I just like, and I run forward, and I'm gonna go. I get about 10 feet away from the edge of the pit, but closest to the hag.
Yeah.
And then, can I hit the hag, or is she covered?
Yeah, she's pretty much got full cover because she's laying down in a 5 foot down hole.
But I can hit the maw though, right?
Yeah, you can hit the maw, and you can hit the Quasite.
Okay, then I will pull on the dark divine energies of Mercule, and I'll be like. You and I point at the Quasite and then I shoot a guiding bolt at it.
Okay, roll the hit.
Oh, and that's 15 plus 5 for dirty 20.
Oh yeah, woo. You smoke it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna hit him with 4d6 radiant damage.
Okay.
And the next attack roll made against this target before the end of my next turn has advantage against it. So I'm gonna end up doing, oh dang, that's not as great as it could have been. I do 10 radiant damage.
Okay.
So a streak of kind of like white energy shoots out from my outstretched finger, smashes right into it.
As it hits it, it just locks back directly into the back of the pit and kind of slouches down a little bit in pain, but it gets back up at the ready.
He's also covered in sparkles.
Gord, it is now going to be your turn.
Gord, seeing Spud in the distance attacked, looks to notice everybody else is handling the witch well. He'll run across the pathway and get about 10 feet away from this beast before using his bonus action to rage and then swinging his giant glaive.
Okay, roll the hit.
Does a 17 hit.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. So it'll be 10 regular damage.
Okay.
4 radiant damage.
Yeah, you slash this thing directly across the chest, and you actually glaive it in twain. And Spud is looking at the face of this demon as its body just slides off the other part of its torso. And the torso is still standing, and there is a mountain of demon ichor that flies out of this thing's torso. And Spud is going to roll that dexterity check to see if he can get away from the ichor in time. And he rolls an 11, which will pass. he manages to, like, put his face just off to the side to get out of the way of the ichor as it shoots out of this thing's torso. Eventually, Spud kind of pokes it in the torso just above its legs, and the legs just fall over towards you, Gord, and you just watch this thing just, like, spew blood out onto the ground.
Gord gets a grin on his face and a thought in his mind, and that'll be his turn.
Okay, then it's going to be top of the round. More surprises. And it's going to be the first Quasite's turn. It is again going to attempt to pat out its master's fire. And it rolls horribly, just not as bad as last time. It manages not to scratch it, but the fire is just everywhere. And then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, Torque's going to pull out his crossbow.
Yeah.
And he's going to shoot at Naked Safari.
Okay, roll the hit.
Advantage, right?
Yeah, you can have advantage. She's still prone.
Okay, that's great. I rolled a 3. So, on the second roll, I rolled a 3.
You're getting too cocksure. You pull the trigger on your crossbow, and the bolt lands quite a ways away, sticking into the side of the wall of the pit. And with that, it's going to be Cornelius's turn.
From my vantage point, what do I see? Like,
so you do not see Naga Savari. She is lying down at like the closest side of the pit to you. So she is like got full cover, but you can see the Maw Demon and the Quasit both in the pit at like the ass end on the northern side.
Okay, I'm gonna run up as far as I can go, and I guess I'm gonna throw my Alchemist Fire.
Okay.
Can I get close enough to be able to throw it?
Between 20 and 60 feet. It's at disadvantage, and anything above 60 feet is an automatic miss, so...
I feel like it's, like, just over 20 feet.
Yeah, so you could roll at disadvantage.
Do I get advantage because they're in the hole?
Where you are, you technically have advantage on Naga Savari. Because you know where she fell into the hole, you just can't see her, you know that she's there. So you would have advantage on that. Disadvantage from your stance, which means that you would technically, it would just be a regular roll from where you're at.
Okay, I'm gonna do that.
Okay.
That is a 12.
12 does not hit.
Well, fuck-a-doodle-doo.
As you lob your alchemist fire, it just goes a little bit too far, and off to the side, it smashes into the wall and lights Torque's crossbow bolt on fire.
Cool.
Guess I won't pick that up later.
And that's my turn. I mean, I can't do anything else, so...
All right, then it's going to be Spud. Spud steps out of the way of the demon and all of the ichor, and he is going to dash up to the action. He makes it to just to the edge of the pit on the northern side, and he's kind of looking around naked, and he's like... holding his two short swords, and that's going to be his turn. And then it's going to be Naga Zavari, and she is going to try to climb out of the pit. Hell yeah. She definitely manages to climb out of the pit. Although she is on fire, she manages to get to the top, but she's still on fire. Then yeah, Nevlin, why don't you go ahead and cast your spell.
So as Naga Zavari crawls out of this pit, Nevlin's already just kind of hiding behind it, and or hiding behind this mound, and he peeks out of the side, and he's like, "I know you don't, bitch." And he just kind of pushes his hand forward. It's a cantrip, so he does it like automatically almost. And she's going to have to make a strength save or be pushed back 5 feet into the pit. And that save modifier
it doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter.
Tell me all about it.
She rolled a fucking 1.
Oh, yes.
I'm rolling ones. It's nothing but ones. I'm using the wrong dice tonight. This is all bad. So she is gusted back into the pit. The gust extinguishes the flames that she has on her body, but she feels the pressure of this gust as she, like, struggles to balance, and her eyes widen and her arms flail as she falls back into the pit. I'm going to need you to roll that. 1d6 and plus 2d10 damage.
That's only 8 damage total this time.
Okay, she falls backwards, taking 8 damage from the spikes that jab into her again and again.
Nevlin just maneuvers himself back sort of to the east of this pile, and that'll be the end of my turn.
That was his held action from round 1, so now it's your turn again, Nevlin.
Nice. Nevlin jumps up on top of his mound so he can... I'm hoping that from sort of this vantage point he can see properly into the pit, specifically Naga Zavari.
Yes, you can see Naga Zavari because you're 5 feet up. You can definitely see Naga Zavari at the bottom of the pit, prone, and impaled.
Excellent. Oh, so she is prone. He begins an incantation. He's muttering under his breath, and he's waving his arms around, and his magical cloak starts to shimmer with these images of galaxies and planets spinning. With a great thrusting forward of his hands, he lets out a scorching ray. And three rays of fire come hurtling out of the palms of his hands as he thrusts his hands forward, all three of which are aimed at Nagazavari.
Okay, roll a hit.
So I make three individual attack rolls. I have advantage though, correct?
Yes, you do have advantage.
Sweet. And my modifier for that at this level is now +7.
Hell yeah.
So my first attack is a 15.
That's not gonna hit.
Okay, second attack. Ooh, is a 25.
A 25 definitely hits.
And my third attack is a natural 20.
Hell yeah. So that's going to be max bliss rolled. So roll the damage for the first hit.
Each one does 2d6. So the first hit does 4 damage.
Okay.
Second actual hit is 10 damage. So 14 plus 12 is 26.
That's
26 damage total.
For your max plus rolled?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, these fireballs rip out of your hands and, well, I mean, scorching balls of fire rip out of your palms and smash into Nagazavari as she is virtually unable to move and pinned down by these spikes that have impaled her at the bottom of this pit. Is that going to be your turn?
I do jump back down behind my mounds.
Okay.
To get some cover, but that's it.
Sounds good. Did you keep in mind that was difficult terrain, or was it difficult terrain?
Yeah, I guess it would be. Yeah, I guess I could only move back a little bit, so I'm still on top of a mound.
Okay, next up's going to be the Maw Demon that is in this pit. This Maw Demon's going to be able to make its way up out of the hole without using its action. It's just going to be able to do it because it's difficult terrain. It gets up out of the pit and starts moving towards you, Torque.
Oh.
Ja?
Yeah?
Goes around the pit this time instead of directly into it.
Ugh, love that pit.
It is going to try and bite at you.
Whatever.
And it rolls a 2, because that's how tonight's going. It's going to miss you, and I'm going to miss these dice when I throw them out of the fucking house into the garbage can. Then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, then I'm going to rock over to the side here. I just kind of strafe to the side so I can get a better look at this Maw Demon. I'm off to the left. Torque is off to the right, but I'm like 15 feet away. I just levy another guiding bolt at it. I'd be like, Mercure, give me this hit one more time. And that's going to be a 15.
I wish you said hit me, baby, one more time, but...
Mercure, hit me, baby, one more time.
15 is definitely a hit.
Nice! Then I will do the guiding bolt damage.
Oh, all the dice give me all the damage.
17 radiant damage.
This bolt pierces through the head of the Maw Demon. You see it come out the other side, but you see these like weird veins of radiant light that start to move up outside of its face, and it's up near its eyeballs, and it kind of looks at you wide-eyed, and then you see its lids shut down, and it looks at you through narrow eyes as its head just explodes and it drops to the ground.
Oh!
That said, Torque, I need you to roll me a
God damn it.
Dexterity saving throw to see if you can get out of the way of Demon Icker.
Fuck! I rolled another 3. So oh! That's a 4.
Okay.
Oh my god.
All right, let's just do this really quick.
That's the happiest I've seen you all episode, was when I rolled that 3.
Okay, Caitlin, can you please roll me a D100?
80.
80?
Yeah.
Oh, that's... See?
What? Oh, no.
Are you a fat turtle?
All of a sudden, you guys see Torque just, like, kind of go wide-eyed as your body starts to shrink down and wither away as you become super thin and skeletal. It is almost hard for you to hold up your own shell. You kind of look like Franklin the turtle, but with like a like a way bigger shell. And yeah, you are like withered away and your face sucks in and you look very pale and decrepit. However, you still feel okay. You just look absolutely like just awful.
Oh no!
And at that, it is going to be Gord's turn.
Excellent. Gord, with almost a quiet calmness in his rage, struts over towards the hole where he suspects everybody is and looks down and stabs with his javelin down into the pit.
Okay.
And he'll stab at the creature that's in there.
Yep.
What's that creature's name again?
It's a quasi.
Bill.
Gord stabs at the quasi with a reckless attack. And that is a 17.
A 17 definitely hits.
14 damage. Six of that is radiant.
You stab down, it definitely explodes. It's like they're little pustules waiting to be popped, and you just like hit it at the direct angle, and this thing just starts spewing demon ichor out of its mouth, and you need to roll a dexterity saving throw, and so does Spud.
17.
Okay, you pass. Spud does not. Spud.
Yes! What happens to him?
I'm gonna tell you momentarily.
Well, I hope you both grow thin together.
No, he's gonna grow a second head.
He can do something different.
Rolling my D100 right now. Spud rolled a 74.
It better not be cool. I'll be so mad.
So all of a sudden, Spud gets soaked in demon ichor, and you guys watch Spud transform. So Spud is now tripled in size.
Damn it! But he doesn't get any cool features, though,
right? Is he a large creature now?
No, he is swollen. He's now tripled in weight, so he looks really fat. He looks like a fat, juicy mushroom.
So I got really skinny
and,
like, arthritic and gaunt, and he got fucking, like, gargantuanly fat?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
You guys aren't so different.
We're very different. We're literally the opposite.
You guys are, same but different.
We're very different.
And with that transformation, Gord, is that going to be your turn then, I guess?
Oh, that is my full turn.
Then it's going to be Torque. Skinny Torque.
Okay, let's not start with nicknames. It won't stick. So, who is currently in the pit?
Just Naga Savari.
Well, Torque is going to try and roll something better than a 3, hopefully maybe even better than a 15. And he's going to use his crossbow again to shoot at them.
Okay.
My wish came true. That's a math, 23.
That's a hit.
So that'll be 12 damage, please.
Okay, you connect with this one. You kind of finally figured it out. And you're a bit skinnier now, so you're able to hold your crossbow a lot easier with like how skinny your arms are right now. And you loose your crossbow, and it sticks her right in the back as she lays there impaled and screaming in pain.
You make it sound so cheap.
It was cheap.
Fish in a barrel.
And that's going to be your turn?
Yeah, I'm just going to stay there.
And just keep firing. Okay, then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
All right, Cornelius is going to run up to the edge of the pit and cast Scorching Ray and shoot all three rays directly at David Duchovny or whatever the name is.
Why?
Naga Safari.
Go for it.
Okay, advantage still?
Yeah, she's prone.
Well, hot damn. First one, 14.
Doesn't hit.
Next one, even worse.
Doesn't hit.
One after that, dirty 20.
That'll hit.
Okay, so that's going to be 7 fire damage.
7 fire damage to Naga Zavari as, again, she lays there unable to move at the moment. It re-agitates her prior burn wound, so she screams out again in pain. Is that going to be your turn?
Okay, I'm just going to back up 5 feet, and that's good enough for me. That's my turn.
Then it's going to be Spud, who is now, like, chonky as ever. He is going to actually reach back. It's like, you can see it, like, struggling to reach into his rucksack and grab one of his daggers out.
His rucksack.
Yeah, he has a rucksack. He actually, he drops one of his short swords, he reaches back, he grabs a dagger out of his rucksack, and and he hucks this dagger at Naga Zavari. Oh yeah, he totally nails her too. He hucks this dagger, and it's gonna do 1d4 plus 3-4 damage. So 7 damage to Nagazavari with his dagger. He's like,
I got some beef behind my throat now.
And that's gonna be his turn. He's too tired to move. It's gonna be Nagazavari's turn. And this poor fucking woman is going to try to stand up. She's gonna move up and out of the pit. She can't move any more than that. And she's gonna cast Burning Hands directly towards you, Cornelius. And I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
For sure.
As this 15-foot cone of fire blasts forward out of her hands.
That's a 6, but I'm gonna use my lucky footwork, roll a d4 and still fail. That's an 8.
Yeah, that's not gonna do it. So you're gonna take 3d6 fire damage.
Yeah, that's cool. It's no big deal.
And I'm rolling still 2s and 1s, guys. So that's gonna be 5 damage. 5 fire damage for you, Cornelius. And the ground around you lights on fire.
That's how I like it.
Yeah. Hot. And that's gonna be her turn. Next in the order is gonna be Nevlin.
Nevlin's just going to move forward to the next closest mound and cast Scorching Ray again at Nagazavari.
Okay, have at her. Let her rip and roll the hit.
14 was the first one, which does not hit.
Nope.
18.
Does
and
hit.
And 16.
It does not hit.
Damn, so only one hits for 2d6 damage. That's 9 damage.
As she moves to face Cornelius to cast Burning Hands, she leans back. Two of the Scorching Rays rip past her, but the third one connects and deals that 6 fire damage as she feels the sting of the pain of fire yet again. Is that going to be your turn?
I do move back again to take cover.
Okay, then it's going to be Dario's turn.
I'm going to do this better than I have before in the past, but Dario is going to run up, and then he runs diagonally at Nagazavari to make a shove attack.
Okay.
And push her back into the into the pit over here.
Okay.
Okay, let me read this out, because I did this wrong last time.
Okay.
Using the attack action, you can make a special melee attack to shove a creature, either knocking it prone or pushing it away from you. You're able to make multiple attacks with your attack action. This attack replaces one of them. Instead of making an attack roll, you make a strength athletics check contested by the target's strength athletics or dexterity acrobatics check.
Okay.
So then I'll roll my athletics, which I am proficient. Dang it. 9. It needs to contest my roll of 9.
Okay, so we are going to use strength. She's pretty tough. Even with, are you fucked? You got a 9?
I got a 9.
She rolled a 5, and she's got +4 to strength. So she also got a 9. We're going to have to roll the break.
Okay, let's do it again.
Fuck! She got a 9.
Again. I got a 13.
Okay. As you shove this poor hag, she flies back through the air 5 feet as she falls down again onto these broken spikes. Dario, can you please roll me 1d6 plus 2d10 damage? 1d6, because I said it in the beginning and I shouldn't have, a plus 2d10 damage. And she falls into this pit of spikes.
She never had a chance.
For those at home listening, I do understand and know that 1d6 is for 10 feet of falling damage. I just thought it would be a good DM and cut them a little break, but I did not think that this was going to be a thing that repeatedly happened 8 times.
All right, fairly low. I got 9 altogether.
Yeah, she falls into the pit, stabby, 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 as she is prone yet again. She's prone yet again. Then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord, even in his rage, has a sadness for this witch, who had no chance at all. He thinks to himself and says, oh, it's a lot easier now. And he'll take his attack at advantage. And that's a 23 to hit.
Yeah.
I've been rolling so bad. 7 regular damage and 3 radiant damage.
You stab down with your glaive again, and the radiance of your glaive and of your being slashes through Nagazavari, and blood bursts out of her skin as she screams, aloud for the 18,000th time in like the last 3 seconds.
Oh god, the pit. The pit.
Now, is that going to be your turn, Gord?
That is my turn.
Then it's going to be top of the round. It's going to be Torque.
So she's still in the pit, huh?
Yeah, and prone.
Okay, well, Torque's just going to shoot her with his crossbow at advantage.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Fish in a barrel.
Okay, well, that's only a 14 for the first one.
Yeah, no dice.
But it's a dirty 20 for the second.
Yep, you go ahead and roll your damage.
I'm trying not to take extra enjoyment in how much you hate this, but it's okay. I
dug my own pit. I gotta lie in it.
I mean, we dug it for you.
I dug your pit.
You just fell into it. Oh, God. Okay, well, you'll be happy to know that that's only 7 damage.
Okay. Still prone, laying face down in a pile of spikes, impaled and bleeding, being stabbed at. As she screams, her scream is quickly interrupted by a crossbow bolt shooting into the other side of her back. And is that going to be your turn?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Thank
yeah, that
you.
One, that one. I think that one punctured the lung. It's going to be Cornelius now.
I'm going to walk back up and produce flame. Throw it at her.
Okay.
At advantage.
You guys are brutally murdering this woman.
Just setting her on fire.
Why do you suddenly care about this hag?
That's gonna be a miss, though.
Okay.
I'll back up again a few feet, and that's my turn.
Okay.
Shit turn.
Then it's gonna be Spud, and he has to join in as well. Spud is gonna grab another dagger, and he's gonna chuck it. Actually, you know what? He's gonna throw it. As he reaches in his rucksack, he goes to grab another dagger, and then he feels the jar of alchemist fire, and he's like,
oh yeah.
And then he pulls out the jar of alchemist fire and hucks it at Nagazawari.
You're doing that because it's less damage.
Sets her on fire, though.
So that's going to be an 11 plus 6. That's 17. Take 1d4 damage. She takes 2 damage. But now, after all of this, she lights on fire, and then it's going to be her turn again. She stands up. She slowly begins to climb out of the pit, and this time she just looks at you, Cornelius, and she's like, screams as her hands light on fire again, and she puts her fingers together and blasts a massive cone of fire out towards you. I need you to make a dexterity saving throw, both of you, Dario and Cornelius.
Oh, shit.
It's 16.
Oh, I failed. Rolled a 4.
You are going to pass, Cornelius. You're going to take half damage.
Cool.
And Dario, you take 7 damage, fire damage, as this weak-ass cone of fire comes ripping out of your fingers. You're pretty destroyed. And Cornelius, you are going to take 4 damage.
Wow.
And she drops to one knee and shakes her head and then stands back up again, and then that's going to be her turn. And Nevlin, it is your go.
Nevlin's going to scuttle back over to the south side of his,
Don't do it.
Of his little mound walls. And he's going to cast Gust.
Okay.
Oh my god.
She's going to try to push her back into the pit. It's a strength saving throw against DC 15.
What the actual fuck, man? Okay, she rolled a 5 plus 4 for 9. Not gonna do it. You cast Gust again, and I'm assuming that you snicker as you do. Just as she stands up after she's cast her second spell this fight, she's pushed back again, and she loses her balance as her arms flail. She fucking falls directly back, flips over, and lands on her belly, impaled yet again. Can you please roll me 1d6 plus 2d10 damage?
That'll be 15 damage total.
Oh my god.
It's the pit that keeps on giving.
You're all surrounded this pit. As she goes through, there's one giant, huge, massive spike that you guys hadn't seen. It was one that Gord was like, as he's putting it in place, and it didn't get any love and attention until right now, and it goes through the entire side of her body, and she is like so close to bleeding out. She lets out one wailing scream as she goes through, this thing goes through her.
Like, I built that one.
She hits the ground with a thud. She is not looking good. Nevlin, is that going to be your turn?
That's the end of it, yeah.
Then it's going to be Dario Sidolfo.
All right, I'll walk up and I'll be like, it is time. It's time for you to join the crowd invisible.
And
are the bells tolling?
yeah, the bell tolls. Bong, doo.
It's a heavy metal bell.
Yeah. She has to make a wisdom saving throw, DC 13.
I'm almost rooting for her at this point.
DC 13? Yeah.
She rolled a 12, so she got a 14.
Dang it! The bells of Mercule do not grip her soul at this time.
No, she's down with the sickness. She knows what's up.
I will disengage and go back.
Not that you entirely needed to, because she's prone at the bottom of a pit, impaled on some giant fucking piece of wood. Then it's going to be right. Gord's turn.
Gord is going to swing around the pit to get a better advantage and stab at this witch.
Okay, roll the hit.
Does a 13 hit?
No.
All right. At that point, Gord, at that point, you kind of see his eyes flutter open, and his rage ends.
Okay. And that's your turn?
That's my turn.
Okay. Then it's going to be top of the round, Torque.
How could I jump into the pit and not be impaled?
You just need to make a dexterity check to get down there without being impaled.
Okay. Torque wants to, like, shake things up a little bit. He's gonna, like, tactfully jump at her in the pit, but he's gonna pull out his short sword first. He's gonna put away his crossbow, and he's got a short sword in his hand.
Okay, you have to drop your crossbow.
I did. It's dropped. It's on the ground.
Okay, now you can pull out your short sword, and then you're gonna jump into the pit.
Yes, and now we're jumping into the pit.
Roll me a dexterity check.
Okay. This is 12.
Yeah.
Just pretend that all of your NPCs haven't been totally hammered by us this entire episode. And
you don't make it. You make it in, but at the bottom, there's a spike that goes directly through your foot as you jump down into this pit, and you're going to take 1d10 damage. You're going to take 10 piercing damage as this stray piece of wood goes directly through your foot, and then you can still attack.
Okay, well, that's all that matters.
Directly through an artery in your big toe.
Because technically you weren't, like, jumping as an action. You were just, like, jumping down into the pit. You failed the throw, because it was a moderate. It was a moderate. It was totally
that's
moderate.
Fair.
There's a lot of spikes in that pit. She's felt almost all of them.
So moderate. Okay, well, so now Torque's going to use his short sword to try and attack.
Okay.
At advantage, right?
She is prone.
So that first one was an 11, and then we've got a 15?
No, that's not going
to
hit.
Damn it. Okay, but can he use his bonus action to use his turtle claws?
Yes, ma'am.
Do it.
That first one was a 16. Oh, God.
Okay.
And then a 21 for the second, so.
That's a hit.
Oh, God, I hope he kills her with his cute little frail turtle claws. Oh, maximum damage. That's a 9. Thank you.
So you jump down. You guys see Torque jump down into this pit. And you watch as its skinnied turtle feet go through the air and then land directly on this branch that pokes through his foot, with no effort whatsoever. It just straight through the foot. And then Torque slashes at Naga Zavari, but misses as she's too low to the ground. So Torque gets right in on top. And just as she turns her head over, Torque slits her throat open with his claws. And she looks up at you, and she kind of looks around as you guys see the blood pouring out of her neck. She's like,
"Who are you?"
And then she hits the ground and dies.
Oh, no!
Hooray!
We are the Pit Brigade.
We're the Pit people!
Jesus Christ, I'm never doing that again.
What happened, guys? Sorry. Oh, look, everybody's dead. Great.
As she dies, Torque, you see hanging around her neck, covered in blood, is the last of the three heartstones that you need to collect.
Amazing. Torque rips it off her bloody neck. He's like, guys, I got the thing, her necklace. Oh man, my foot hurts a little bit, but I got the stone.
Perfect, Dork. Here, throw it up here.
Okie dokie. And he throws it.
Hey, Nevlin, after Tork gets out, you should push that earth back in on top of her.
Tork, why don't you check the body as well?
Oh, yeah, there might be some gold or something.
Oh boy, there's a lot of blood. Oh boy.
Roll me an investigation check.
Oh, that's intelligence. So 14 minus 1 is 13.
Everything on her is so covered in blood and like gorging wounds. There's like holes, little holes in her body from these spikes that have been repeatedly plunged through her flesh. And she's just so bloody that it's hard to find where things are. She's just like a ragtag mess of flesh right now. But you do find 2 potions of healing, a pouch of small bones. You find another potion. This one is of water breathing. You find some sort of, like, brooch.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys, okay, there's, like, a couple of potions or whatever, and this, like, little piece of jewelry that you put on, you know, like, you put on your shirt or whatever. And then, like, I don't know, she's got, like, a little bag of bones. Like, she was eating, like, chicken wings or something. Like, we probably don't need those. I'll just leave them down here, but I'll bring back all the other stuff. Here you go.
All right, that sounds fine by me.
Hang on, talk, hang on. I was muted there for a moment. hang on,
I was like, why is no one stopping me?
Make sure you bring up that bag of bones there, it could be something. And as Torque is producing these treasures, Nevlin uses Detect Magic, and he's gonna just kind of look over everything she brings up.
You can tell that the bones are somewhat magical, and the brooch is definitely magical.
Cool. Can I identify the brooch?
You sure can if you want to cast a spell. Absolutely.
Do I?
Yeah, he's asking.
Does it identify a sound?
Perfect.
This brooch is the brooch of shielding. While you wear this brooch, you have resistance to force damage, and you have immunity to damage from the magic missile spell.
Cool.
Well, that's really nothing, guys. I'll just hold on to that.
Yeah, like I said, it's not important. Well,
no, you're right. Real, tell you what, give me them bones too. I'll just you never know. Maybe the magic shop knows what to do with them. I got some play with those guys.
You got them, Zach, and you want to just write down somewhere they are fairy dragon bones. They're worth 150 gold pieces.
Like little teensy, weensy, wincy dragons?
Yeah, fairy dragons.
They're a delicacy.
Well, who's taking a potion of healing?
There's three potions here.
Actually, if it's okay, can I take the potion of water breathing? Seeing as I used up all the alchemist fire, you know, that was all very expensive. I'd like that to recoup my costs.
Yeah, it didn't really even do a whole lot. Yeah, take this one, and it'll work better than your fire stuff.
Yeah, I'll take a healing potion.
Well, I mean, does anybody else want the second one?
Dork, you should take it.
I mean...
Damon, actually, Damon, if you don't have one, you should definitely have one.
I definitely don't
have
one.
He's huge! Right. He doesn't need anything anymore.
Hey, Tork, why don't you give Damon one of those, okay?
Sure. Sharing is caring.
I'll tell you what, if it's easier, I'll take it, and I'll give it to him.
I mean, I can do it. It's not like... Man.
All right.
And then I throw it at him. Tork tosses it to him aggressively.
Can I make a reaction to catch it?
Yeah, roll me a dexterity check.
That's only 11.
Yeah, I feel if Torque's chucking...
He underhands it, but, like, very aggressively, though.
Do you, like, huck it underhand?
Yeah, so he's not, like, an overhand.
Is just your demeanor aggressive?
Well, no, it's a solid underhand toss.
Okay, then, Gord, you do not catch it. Spud tries to catch it. He rolls a 50... Plus 4, yeah. You underhand it all angry like a child, and Spud just is like, and catches it like midair, like no problem. And he's like,
no!
He's like, thanks, Tork.
I can't.
And then he puts
win.
It into his rucksack.
And be like, Tork, you could have just handed it to him.
Yeah, well, he caught it, so it doesn't even matter.
Okay.
Tork, we're going to talk about this later.
It's not like we don't notice how you treat him. It's kind of embarrassing.
Oh, we're talking about it now. All right.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. I think now's a good time. Tork, okay. You have a problem with Spud. Spud, why do you think Tork has a problem with you?
I don't know. You know what? I think maybe, you know, if I'm wise beyond my years, then maybe it has something to do with ego. You know, maybe we're a similar age. You know, we come from different backgrounds. But you know, maybe we just got off on the wrong foot. You know, maybe we're having a little bit of a pissing contest, and maybe I need to do a little better to be more compassionate and empathetic towards
good.
Your cause.
That's good.
Yeah,
Spud. That's actually
it's Spud, his fault. That. It's not my ego. It's
Torque,
your ego.
Torque. One moment. Spud, that was very astute thinking on your part, and I think there might have been some good truth in there.
I mean, maybe it's just because Torque's a dick.
Okay, that was a bit much there, Spud, but let's keep it at that. Torque, how do you respond to Spud and his observations?
Well, he's an idiot.
But more than that, use constructive words.
Okay, I guess if I'm going to be perfectly honest, ever since my master Jakku, you know, the guy who died? And his intestines were everywhere and at the monastery, you guys remember?
Yeah, no, you were...
Okay,
yeah.
Ever since he died, I guess I just feel like I don't know how to be a monk anymore. And I don't really know how to be compassionate and nice. And I haven't really been meditating a whole lot. And I don't know, Spud just kind of came along. And I'm the young one. And I am kind of cute. And...
Torque, you're a really badass buck. The way that you effortlessly fire your crossbow is pretty impressive. And, you know, your work with the short swords also, it's pretty good. I mean, I'm not so bad myself. And, you know, I wouldn't want to fight you. I wouldn't want you to sit on me either. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
You got a lot going for you.
You wouldn't want to fight me?
No, probably
maybe
not.
Maybe I'd beat you?
Yeah, probably.
You really think so?
Yeah.
We can do it. You want to fight?
No, I don't want to fight. Maybe we could trade a little more, and maybe I feel a little bit more comfortable.
Maybe that is constructive. Torque, you're not really feeling like a monk, or you're not feeling connected to who you are, but maybe Spud can help you find that in yourself. Maybe this is good.
I mean, we'll have to work at it. And
okay, well...
Spud is like, I need to sit down. I'm feeling a little bit heavy.
And Spud moves his way back over to the camp, where he goes and lays down beside the fire.
Cornelius, maybe we can forage for, like, a little bit of nice food or something. Some trappings of nature.
Slowly open up my cloak, revealing some ghost cheese. I'm getting low.
Oh, bad. Did I see that? I'm, like, 100 feet away. Is that goat cheese?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very astute. Yes, okay, you know what? I think I saw some fish or something swimming down in Dak's old place. Maybe I'll go and get some fresh fish.
All right.
Or something.
You guys go back to the fire. You go down, you grab some fish. You manage to grab a couple of... They're weird-looking fish, but they look edible. You bring them up, and you get them going on a spit over the fire. And you're sitting around the fire, and Spud looks at Gord. And Gord, you have all the heart stones, right?
Yep.
He looks at you and he's like, I guess now we need to face the inevitable, and we gotta go talk to Baba Yaga.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, we're gonna need a plan for that one. What do you think, Nevlin? I mean, gangbusters with that pit back there, that was your idea. What do you think we should do about this one?
Well, I mean, we got no way of knowing whether or not Baba Yaga's gonna stick to her word, but I don't think we should go in there looking for a fight.
Try and talk to her first.
Well, we are under contract from her with a specific reward stated. I'd say that falls into our sort of general operating procedure. We've done quite a bit of killing on her behalf. I don't personally see why she would...
Why she should renege on her promise?
Yeah.
Then we go and see her and we talk to her and we show her all the stones and we tell her that we killed her opposition.
I mean, let's be ready. She's very powerful, and for all we know, these other witches might have wanted to kill her because of some flaws in her character. So let's watch our backs going in there.
And our fronts.
Yeah, that seems the most excellent plan.
I tell you what, I will commune with Mercule about this, and I think I will get a different arrangement of blessings from his greatness that can protect us.
Can you get another pit?
There's no divine pit spell. Unfortunately.
I can't
just make it. But maybe Nevlin can. I don't know.
Well, what do you guys think? Should we hit the hay?
Yeah, you big rotund fungi. Look at you.
It's been a long day.
Yeah, I need to rest.
It has.
As Spud lays down beside the fire, he's facing you guys, and you kind of see him shuffle. He is just about to roll over, and he's like, I guess
Maybe we'll go talk to Baba Yaga on the next full moon. And then his bum is showing.
I actually didn't see that coming.
That was kind of cute.
And that's where we're ending the session, because it's time.
On a cute little shroom bum.